السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مولانا مسیح اللہ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ said, رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, My Rabb gave me the best of deen, meaning deeni ta'aleem, and my Rabb taught me the best of adab, meaning manners, etiquettes. So there is a great need for suhbat, the rectification and the purification of character of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not take place merely through ilm, wasn't merely through knowledge. However, their complete tarbiyat took place in the suhbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. But O you who believe, have fear of Allah Ta'ala. Ittaqullah is translated as fear of Allah, but it's not an accurate translation. Ittaqullah, it requires a whole explanation. There's no word, single word in the English language that can give you a proper translation. So there are many words like this that are found in our deen, found in terminology of Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif. But there's no single word in the English language that can give you an accurate translation. The reason being that they don't have it. It's not in their lives. So they won't have a word for it. Something that's not in their lives, how are they going to have a word for it? So Allah Ta'ala says that, O those, O you who believe, fear Allah, ittaqullah, wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, and stay with those who are true. Stay with those who are true, kunu ma'as sadiqeen. So true, meaning true in their deen. The Sadiqeen, there is no pretense when it comes to them. The Sadiqeen, whatever is in their hearts, the same thing is on their tongues, the same things become apparent through their limbs. There's no put on, there's no ulterior motives or objectives or anything like that. So, kunu ma'as sadiqeen, be with those who are true, who are firmly founded in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, stay with, kunu ma'as, stay with, is to be taken as being in the suhbat of. Stay with, meaning being in the suhbat of. So from the ayat, it is apparent that the safeguarding of iman is through taqwa. Through taqwa, we will safeguard our iman. In today's time, we want to live our life according to fatwa. And we don't want to develop taqwa. So to understand, to give us an understanding, a person is a musafir. A person is a musafir. Smooth this way. Come here. Gora. Please move this way. I told you, people, don't sit here. G. So if you take an example, a person is a musafir, is a traveler, meaning he has undertaken a journey that is more than 77 kilometers from his home. So now he is a musafir. But he is staying somewhere, maybe for 4 or 5 days, and he's got a lot of time on his hands. In fact, he got more time on his hands there than he got at home. So now, the question arises that if he, when it comes to Zuhr Namaz, he just reads only 2 faras. He makes qasr because he's musafir. So he reads 2 faras. So from a fatwa point of view, did he do anything wrong? Say no. So namaz is made. He made his 2 faras. It's fine. But now, if you ask yourself, that between you and Allah Ta'ala, did I do the right thing? I've got the time on my hand. I'm not doing anything. I'm not in a rush to go anywhere. I'm not tired. Absolutely nothing. I've got all the time on my hands. Now when it comes to my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then have I done the right thing? Wouldn't it have been better, I read my 4 sunnat-e-mu'akkada, right, my faras, I can't read 4. I have to read only 2. I must make qasr, right, I have to read 2. But now, what would have happened if I read my 2 sunnat-e-mu'akkada after that also? And if I got the time, I read my 2 nafal also. Now, am I building my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, we must understand this, that when it comes to fatawa, that this is jais, that is jais, this is jais, that is jais, that doesn't mean that we must do all of that. Doesn't mean we must do that. One is the fatwa, and the other is, what is the best thing for me to do? To build my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, to have that taqwa in me, to develop love for Allah Ta'ala, what is the right thing for me to do? So when it comes to our meals, when it comes to our clothing, when it comes to our motor vehicles, when it comes to our homes. So then, a shack is also a home. A shack is also a home. A mud hut with a straw roof, that's also a home. But now, do you want to live in that kind of a home? Then we don't want to stay in that kind of a house. Now we want an average home or better than average home. So when it comes to those things which is for our rahat, for our comfort, then we don't want to make do with just what's necessary. There we want some extras. We want to be comfortable. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You can be comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. But why is it that when it comes to our deen, then we want to confine ourselves with just a bare necessity? Just a bare necessity and then leave it at that. I've done my duty. A person sometime, after Fajr namaz, after Asr namaz, whatever. So generally it is encouraged. We must make our tasbih-e-fatimi. 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, or 34 times Allahu Akbar, all the different riwayat. So now, a person finishes his salah, right? Makes salam, and immediately he wakes up and goes away. So, has he committed any guna? He didn't commit any guna. He completed his salah, he woke up, he went away. But now, he goes, he spends 10 minutes talking outside with a friend. Futile, right? Or unnecessary. But he couldn't spend 2 minutes glorifying Allah Ta'ala. So you ask any mufti that the person came, he just made it in time for Takbir-e-Tahreema, and he left immediately after salam. Is his namaz made? Say, yeah, no, definitely his namaz is made. He completed the farz. His namaz is made. But now ask yourself that in order to build my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then have I done the right thing? Have I done the right thing? Shouldn't I have gone a little bit earlier? Spent a few minutes in the masjid. If I had time, read my sunnat-e-ghair mu'akkada also. After namaz, made my tasbih-e-fatimi. Wouldn't that have been better for me? From a sawab point of view, from building a relationship with Allah Ta'ala point of view, that would have been much better for me. Right? So there are many, many things like this. Many, many things. Now, just having bread, dry bread, is that food or not? It's food. Just having dry bread, you are hungry and you just eat dry bread. So imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to do that to us. Then now, this banda of mine, I just give him the basic, bare necessity for him to survive. So every day, I just give him one slice dry bread. That's his food for the day. Right? And his clothing, just give him 2 meters of material till it gets worn out. Right? That's his clothing. And his home is what we will call a shack. That is his home. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't do that to us. Allah Ta'ala gives us so much more. Allah Ta'ala gives us so much from his side. So many ni'mat, so many bounties. But when we are carrying out our ibadat, forget the extras, right? Forget the extras, even that faraz ibadat, what we have to do, that too is done in such a slapdash form. Just bare minimum, just do that and that's it. But bounties we want. There we want, we got tall orders, what we want. So it shouldn't be like that. We must try to become close to Allah Ta'ala. Be those who are the forerunners when it comes to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our efforts, everything, our resources, whatever. Use it in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fatawa of jaiz is there for a reason. The fatawa of jaiz, something is jaiz, is there for a reason. So, alright, now that's just permissible. But for one to live their life on a level of just doing things that are jaiz, it's a very dangerous place to be. A very, very dangerous place to be. Because from there, very easily the person can go into guna. See, if a lady, she's wearing a burqa, nice long burqa she's wearing. Under the burqa, she's wearing a cloak. And she's wearing an ijar also. She's wearing a pants, she's wearing a cloak. Under the cloak, maybe she's wearing a slip. On top of the cloak, she's wearing a burqa. Right? Now, there's very slim chance of her body getting exposed. Very, very slim chance. Sometimes there can be a gust of wind. Sometimes you can be getting out of the car or whatever. But because she is dressed properly, there's a very slim chance of her body getting exposed. As compared to a woman who's wearing a, you know, one flimsy scarf. Just one flimsy scarf over her head. Not even long enough. Now, that woman, if she just turns a little bit, her neck will get exposed. But when she's putting her scarf on, she's under the impression that, no, I've covered my hair. But she's covering her hair with such a cloth that is just covering her hair. It's just making it to cover her hair. So any movement, the hair will get exposed. Any movement, the neck will get exposed. The nape can get exposed. Right? A man is wearing his ijar, is wearing his pants between his knee and his ankle. Right? He's wearing his pants between his knee and his ankle. So now, there's a very slim chance for that pants to go over the ankle. And there's a very slim chance for that pants to go above the knee. Because it's far from the ankle and far from the knee. So both ways the person is safe. But now a person is wearing a pants and he's wearing it dead on the ankle, you know. Just there on the ankle. So now little bit if the pants goes down, it's going to go over the ankle. And another person is wearing Bermuda or whatever, but he's just covering his knee. Now even when he goes to sit in the wuzu khana, to make wuzu, then too his knee gets exposed. His satar is exposed. Why? Because you're right on the boundary. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has warned us about this. That if you have a flock of sheep and you allow them to graze on the boundary, right? A king has got his pasture there. Nobody is allowed on that pasture. It's prohibited to go on that pasture. But now you allow your sheep to graze right on the boundary of that prohibited pasture. What's going to happen? Slowly, the sheep are going to go into that prohibited pasture. Now, this is what happens when we want to live our life on the level of permissible. Right? See, I go to a restaurant, right? Muslim-owned restaurant. And I make sure that the food that is served there is halal. So I make sure that they are serving halal food. Tayyib is something else. Halal is something else. Right? So, but I make sure that they are serving halal food. So I go and I partake of the meal there in the restaurant, right? So if somebody has to send a question to a mufti, right, say that I ate halal food in that restaurant, was it jais? particular restaurant, Muslim owned, selling halal food. I ate food in that restaurant, was it jais? So the Mufti may tell him, it's jais, no problem. You eat halal food, no problem. It's jais. But now look at it more closely. I went into the restaurant. There's music there. Then they got on big screen because there's one sporting event taking place. Everybody wants to watch it. So they got on big screen there. Then the person who came to take my order, she's probably not getting paid properly. She doesn't have enough material to sew some decent clothing. Right? So now her body is all showing. And then where my table is, across me, Mota and his wife and his daughter were sitting, but all the time now my eyes are meeting with Mota's wife's eyes and or Mota's daughter's eyes. Now what about all these gunas now? I'm only worried about one aspect. No, that food there is a Muslim owned place and the food is halal. So I'm taking my family and I'm going to sit. So you thinking, you sitting there and your eyes are meeting with Mota's wife's eyes. What about Mota's eyes meeting with your wife's eyes? That you don't know about. Now how many people are looking at how many people's wives and daughters and sisters and everything, all the zina of the eyes is taking place. The haram sounds, the musical sounds are going in the ears. The waiters and waitresses, how they are dressed, that is another guna. And then we're sitting on the table and chair and we're eating. So now how many other evils are coming in? Now we just worry about that one fatwa of jais, that the food is halal. But all these host of things that's going to corrupt us. Now we're not worried about that. We're not worried. Sometime even we go for umrah. I mentioned this thing before and now it's coming again. Holiday time, many people are going for umrah, etc. And you hear people talking. No, no, no. We'll book this hotel or that hotel, your top breakfast. So you know what? You eat that solid breakfast, right? Then you don't have to eat lunch. Then you only worry about one meal. Evening, one meal. Right? But now to have that solid breakfast, what danger you have to put yourself into? But you see, we don't regard it as danger because we don't value these things. Right? We don't value it, so we don't regard it as dangerous. You see, if I have money in my pocket, I don't want to walk in Peter Maris Street. I got a lot of money in my pocket now, right? I don't want to walk in Peter Maris Street because I value my money and I know that that is a place I can get mugged. Right? They'll steal my money. So because I got value for the money, and I know that that's a notorious place, I don't want to walk there with my money. But you see, this iman, our amal, all these things, they're not valuable to us. We don't have that value. So we don't bother if we go into notorious environments where all these things are being lost. The ruhaniyat is being lost. The nuraniyat is being lost. One young person, he went for 4 months jamaat, right? So he returned from 4 months. Now he's a professional person and he got a temporary job somewhere. So the first day he goes to the job, he enters there and he sees one very pretty girl now. Young, pretty girl. And he's going to have to be interacting with this woman for that duration of the job that he got there. So when he saw that now, so he contacted the person who employed him and he said, well, you know what, bahut shukriya, but I don't think I'm going to manage this thing. Okay? So when he was asked, that boy, you're a young man now, you need the experience, you need a job. Now why are you walking away from this thing? So he says, see, I didn't go 4 months for nothing. If I'm going to sit here, in 2 days, my whole 4 months will be gone. So whatever I achieved now in the 4 months, Allah Ta'ala gave me, the whole 4 months will be gone in 2 days. Now that is taqwa. Fatwa point of view, you ask the mufti, say, no, it's fine, he can take the job there, he may just watch his eyes and everything, go and work. But he knows as a young man, oh, there's a young woman here, there's a pretty girl here, I'm a young man, unmarried. Now, how am I not going to have evil thoughts? Now, all the qurbani I made, 4 months I went in Allah's path, all the qurbani I made now, all that Allah consciousness, everything that came in, now do I just want to throw all this thing away? Because now he got value for it. He made mujahada. So I don't want to just throw all this away now. So now a person goes for umrah, he goes, he talks about, hey, you know, what a chance I got by the Roza Mubarak. And hey, those guards, they just let me in. And they took everybody out from the Riyazul Jannah. They left me there. I had double time there. All those things he'll talk. Right? He'll talk about. And all those are wonderful ni'mats. Right? And then he comes out from there and he goes for breakfast to the hotel. There is no parda whatsoever. That Mauli Sahab's wife, who you never saw in your life, you will see her when you go for Umrah. Because she too is there. She too is there to go for breakfast. Now she's sitting the next door table. Tablighi Sahab is on this table. Khanka Sahab is on that table. Maulvi Sahab is on that table. Because we all came for breakfast now. We paid for this thing. Now we're sitting on the table and chair. Just now we were bragging about how we stood by the Roza Mubarak and the Riyazul Jannah and all of that. And now what we're doing to the sunnat, right in Madina Munawara, we're throwing the sunnat out the window now. At home you're sitting on the floor and eating. But here now you came, you're sitting on table and chair. And sometimes so much of israf and wastage takes place. And the zina of the eyes and all the rest that goes with it. We're going, we're making umrah, and after that we're going and sitting on the table and chair, dining in a manner that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. So where is the taqwa now? From a fatwa point of view, the umrah got made. But where is the taqwa? Where is the wara? Where is the Allah consciousness that is coming in? Allah consciousness is not coming. We are becoming huffaz also. We are becoming ulama also. We are taking part in the works of deen also. We are bared to mashayikh also. But that Allah consciousness is not coming. Allah consciousness. Allah is watching me. How am I living my life? What am I doing? How am I behaving? We go right to Madina Munawara, Makkah Mukarramah. There too ghaflat comes away. There too, we are in a ghaflat now. Can we not sacrifice that breakfast? So I leave that, even if I'm in Conrad, that's the hotel name I was trying to get. The one person was telling me, he said, no, Moana, you must go Conrad. So Conrad, the breakfast, what? I'm not advertising. So anyway, but now can we not sacrifice that breakfast? Buy someone 2 biscuits or something there from the supermarket. Carry your tea bags or something. Make yourself a cup of tea in the room. Sit on the floor. Carry your dastarkhan. and have your breakfast according to the sunnah. You don't have to worry about who you're going to look at and who's going to look at you. Your parda is taken care of. You're sitting there on the floor, you're eating according to the sunnah. Is that not better? Isn't that better? So the suhbat, what we are discussing is that taqwa is a protection for our iman. I'm giving you different examples to understand that what is the difference between taqwa and fatwa of jais. Something being jais doesn't mean I must do it. Jais is the lowest level that you can get. People say, no, ask that mufti, he said it's jais. Yes, the mufti will give you the parameters. It explain to you what is jais and where now you're going on to haram. But something that is jais doesn't mean you must live your life on that level. That's a very, very low level. That's like you're just on the border of going into karahat or going into haram. That's the meaning of jais. Just jais. To understand it, say a person, he had no clothing, his clothes all napak. He needs to read namaz. So the only thing he could find was one bermudas. He got no t-shirt. Only thing he could find is one bermuda. Right? So he's just coming above his navel and going below his knee. So he wore that bermuda now and he read his namaz. So now he sends a question to the mufti. The mufti sahab, this was my situation. I read my namaz with this bermuda, just covering my navel and going over my knee. Is my namaz made? So the mufti will tell him, your namaz is made, because your satr was covered. But now, a person who is not in that situation, and he walks in here into the masjid with a bermuda, no t-shirt, nothing, and he walks in the bermuda here, who will allow him to read namaz? Even if he takes out the mufti's fatwa, and he shows you, see here, I got fatwa from 5 muftis, it's jais, my namaz will be made. Who will allow him to read namaz like that? We won't allow him. Why? Because it's not acceptable. So you must understand what is jais. You say, no, this is jais, that is jais. That. Jais don't mean you must live your life on that. You have to develop ourselves and come on to taqwa. That will be the protection for our iman. Taqwa will be a protection for our iman. Understand? And this taqwa will come about through suhbat. It will come about through suhbat. You'll develop taqwa. Provided we also have an open heart, open mind, we are sincerely seeking that suhbat, then through the barakat of that suhbat is a system Allah Ta'ala has kept. It's a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. That through the barakat of suhbat with the saliheen, taqwa will develop. It's Allah's system. So if people, for example, go out in jama'at, so all the people in the jama'at now, they all got one purpose. Right? So all the time they are doing good. So now, it's a pious company. It's a pious company. Provided they are spending their time properly, whatever. It's a pious company. All the time they are in pious company. Then they are staying in the masjid. They are in the company of the malaika. All the time they are making ta'aneem, the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now the taqwa must develop. So you see that person, he's just fresh out of varsity, he's just fresh out of matric or whatever, you look at him, you can't make out sometime, this is Suleiman or Solomon, you know, you can't make out. Then somebody makes his tashkir, he goes out in jamaat. He come back from jamaat, he got an amama, he got miswak in his pocket, he is wearing chumpals, fazaid-e-amal in his hand, it's a kya hua? Sobat. Sobat. He stayed in that sobat, in that environment with pious people, good company. The same thing happens to the person. He goes to the Darul Uloom, he goes to the Khanqa. Now you stay in that company. Obviously, the best is a person who goes to a sheikh, stays in the company of the sheikh, makes his islah, etc. But you can't be in the company of the sheikh all the time. But we must be in pious company all the time. If people are talking nonsense, why are we obligated to sit there? If people are engaging in something that is of a disliked nature or a prohibited nature, why must we sit there? What's making us, making it obligatory on us to sit there? We don't have to sit there. Rather go and sit with people who are talking about Allah Ta'ala. Go and sit with people who are making ta'nim. Go and sit with people who are talking something beneficial. Our company is very, very important. Very, very important. In order to safeguard our iman, we need taqwa. Taqwa will develop with good company. Stay in the suhbat of salihin, taqwa will develop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Next week, Monday, there won't be any program. Inshallah, the following week, we'll have a program. Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik usallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.